You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Sex, Lies, and Spray Tans with me, Cheryl Burke, an iHeartRadio podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to Sex, Lies, and Spray Tans, the rewatch series where I rewatch every single episode. Today, we are focusing on recapping season 2, week 3 of the Dancing with the Stars competition. So since we're not rewatching any of the result shows, which is a little unfortunate, but honestly, I'll thank you later. For those that voted, Tatum O'Neal and Nick Kosovic actually got eliminated during week 2 of the competition. And right away, that just, you know, goes to show me and everyone who's listening, I guess, that, you know, people at home don't necessarily love to see two people bicker week in and week out. Right? I mean, really, I don't think they ever just had a smooth week, meaning no frustration, no bickering, no tension. You know, I would have to say that, you know, every package of theirs was a tension package. It just doesn't necessarily come across as something that's family friendly when every week you just see these two bickering, literally wanting to strangle each other. You know, there's a difference. Like me and Drew Lachey that season, we had a very bickering type relationship, right? That brother-sister, we would just bicker. He was super sarcastic and it would actually make me feel more comfortable being on camera for some reason when I was being bickered at, basically. And the difference between us and Tatum and Nick, for example, it wasn't necessarily like a dig at each other, right? We weren't being rude. Drew and I weren't being rude or disrespectful to one another. Also, friendly reminder that Master P, yeah, you know, the guy that won't wear dance shoes and refuses to take off his P. Miller hat and shoes, is very much still in the competition, even though he had scored the lowest score, even under Tatum O'Neal, as he got only a 16 out of 30. And though he was in the bottom with Tatum, the bottom two, that is, she was the one that got eliminated as she only got 1 point ahead of Master P. If I were her, I would have been pissed. But again, you can't compare the couples when you're doing two completely different dances. I truly believe still to this day that the judges compare you to your last performance. You're only as good as your last dance. Heard of that saying before? Okay. So now that everything is fresh in your minds from last week's rewatch episode, let's get this party started with the one, the only, you guessed it, Jerry Rice and his partner Anya Trebunskaya. They show a clip of their quick step from last week and Tom Bergeron's voiceover saying last week, Jerry and Anya dashed their way into the hearts of millions. Bruno says another touchdown for Jerry. And then Tom goes on his merry way and says, but his scores, meaning Jerry Rice's scores, were only high enough to put him in the middle of the pack as Jerry and Anya received only a 23 out of 30 for their quick step in week 2, which I think was underscored, just saying. But in my opinion, though, I still think for week 2, like that's freaking amazing. 23 out of 30. I don't think that happens. I mean, unless you're freaking Nicole Scherzinger. Okay. The package starts with Jerry's interview You see them rehearsing, meaning Jerry Rice and Anya rehearsing different basic jive steps. And you see Jerry actually having so much fun, though he doesn't really show it, right? You just see it on his face. Like you see a little smirk and a little tiny smile, maybe. No teeth, though. And then Anya states the obvious in her interview and says, Jerry is a football player. I'd really love for them to see him as a dancer. Ugh. And then cut to Jerry taking a break in front of a television. That's right. They must have gotten a television from Best Buy and rolled it up into the Imperial Dance Club studio, which I'm pretty sure I've never seen a TV there, just saying, especially of that size. Okay. Anyway, so I guess the reason there was a TV there was not to watch his footage of his previous weeks and learn how to be better as a dancer. It was the playoffs. That's right. Jerry Rice needed to watch the playoffs. Even if he only gave Anya a few hours a day because he had to play golf at noon. That's also in the interview with Anya. Listen up. Anyway, he said, you know, I really wanted to watch the playoffs, but I realized that I have to work in order to be good at something. Very true. You have to sacrifice stuff that you want to do, stuff that you need to do. But then it shows him basically giving that whole lecture on like, in order to be great, you have to sacrifice stuff. And then it just cuts to him watching the playoffs during their rehearsal, which is hysterical. And then Jerry says to camera, let's get to work. And then you see them rehearse and their jive looks actually pretty solid, I must say. His footwork is quick. He looks like he knows what he's doing. He's got fast leg action and he's pretty precise from what I saw, that is. So hopefully, you know, the jive will be their breakout dance. And then you can basically tell Jerry was feeling a lot more comfortable around Anya and on camera. And he goes up to Anya and he goes, this is the third week. And Anya goes, it's only the third week. And then he looks to the camera and he goes, I am pissed off. He was just joking, obviously. But knowing Jerry and how humble he is, you know, you just laugh because you can just tell he's coming out of his shell. And then it cuts to funny footage of Anya asking Jerry, how high can you jump? Because she wanted to most likely put this into their jive. Mind you, you know, Anya's wearing heels, you guys. Kids, listen up here. Wear your heels, even if you're pro, even if you're a pro dancer, okay? Just look the part. It looks good on camera. She had a practice outfit on. She looked great, gorgeous, and she just looked professional. And then Jerry basically trips over himself in his package and he shows her how high he can jump, which is not very high, shockingly, actually. Who knew? And then they laugh a little and then she just keeps saying, basically like, try again. No, try again. And it's funny to see someone who's so athletic and coordinated on the football field just stumble over himself, you know? Then it cuts back to Jerry in his master interview saying, coming in fourth or fifth, I don't like that. He says, I think the jive is going to be the one we're going to have to attack and go for the kill. Love it. Okay, so I have to say, watching their actual performance was a little underwhelming for me, especially coming from such a strong performance with his quick step. You know, I just thought that I saw so much more potential during their rehearsal footage, and he looked a little bit just more aggressive and attacking each step when he was in rehearsal, and he had more, yeah, like attack, and he had those like funny moments, and their rehearsal in comparison to his performance, I felt like he was actually holding back or he was nervous. I think what he was doing though was just thinking about what's next, and instead of showing what he was like thinking, he should have just tried to at least work on the performance side of it. But this is what I mean. You cannot get there with only 3 to 4 hours of rehearsal a day, unfortunately. The only way you can get to the point of like really performing and not thinking about what's next is if you know your steps. And how do you get to know your steps? You have to practice. It's one thing to practice alone, maybe you're practicing if it's the celebrity, most likely you're practicing alone, but maybe it's wrong. Like it's always a different feeling when doing these moves together, right? Because like a lot of these moves work together with another human being to create speed, to create like sleekness and create precision. And you need each other's body weight and rotation in order for that to happen. So you can't do this until you do it, right? Maybe, just maybe. Even though I'm sure Jerry Rice definitely was thinking about his routine even when he was playing golf, maybe they should have come back for a second round of rehearsals. Like, especially the first 3 days, it's crucial. The day then it sucks because it's like the day after a live show, you feel like you just got run over by a truck. But it's those earlier days of the week, like the day after the live show, the day after the live show, and then that last day before you shoot wides, which is basically when the director asks you to do your full routine to music so that they can choreograph the cameras. You need to know your crap by then, okay? Then it's showtime, game face, people. Don't you dare ever come on the show feeling insecure about what's next. That is the job of the celebrity, to really hammer in the routine. Write it down if you have to. Tattoo it on your head. I don't care. Okay. So, look, I think that when it was pretty clear to me that he wasn't necessarily 100% confident with this, right? Also, you start to see everyone's level of movement and dancing go down because now it's the test of if you can do an actual full dance from top to bottom with a quick turnaround, because you had 4 or 5 weeks to prepare for your first two dances. Now we're heading into week three. So this is when shit hits the fan, folks. Okay, so, you know, like I said, I feel like Jerry was holding back. I think what he was doing, though, was really just thinking and not wanting to miss a step. He was aiming for perfection, though there's no such thing. And he should have just tried to at least smile. Just force it. Show teeth. If you have to, just remind yourself of it. But if, you know, look, even myself, when I choreographed back then, I wasn't great at, or I guess I didn't understand that I had to showcase my celebrity back in season two. And Anya even said that as well in her interview. But I think if she would have maybe added more like shimmies or more driven, like rhythmical moments, let's say, even though maybe he's not naturally rhythmical, he's, you know, able to be a great leader for Anya. So I think those moments where he may not be full of like steps and choreography, but full of like moments of strength where he looks strong, should have been a little bit highlighted more. But as far as his kicks go, you know, now it all makes sense when she said that, out of all of her athletes, like I said earlier, that Jerry was the one with the least amount of rehearsal time. So, you know, I think if he would have put a little bit more effort and hours into his rehearsal, he would have maybe been a little bit better. But more power to me and Drew. No, I'm kidding. It looks kind of sloppy, to be honest. You know, his kicks and flicks were not as sharp as I thought they were going to be. And it just didn't look action-packed. But not meaning like action-packed full of just random jive steps. The choreography was fine. It was just the execution of it. He didn't exaggerate anything, you know. And I think he was just trying to, again, aim for perfection. And there's a fine line of making it feel good and then making it look good. And most of the time, the two just don't connect. So when you feel crazy, when you're ballroom dancing, most likely you look great. And vice versa. You just have to exaggerate everything, but not every little thing. There are moments where you don't, especially in the jive, because it's so fast. But there are also moments, you know, where you just need to avoid dancing kind of monotone. There has to be build up. It's a story. It's a movie, however you want to translate it, right? There has to be moments of energy, moments of softness, moments of strong lead and follow, fast footwork, synchronicity, and none of that was there for me. So I do have to say there were moments of his knees getting really high up, but then his feet were flexed, for example. He did a few great triple steps, which is a basic step in the jive. He actually knows how to spin, which is shocking because he did like a whole spin. I was hoping to see more of those maybe, but it's one thing to do one spin and then it's one thing to do continuous spins. So I'm not trying to ask him to do like a triple pirouette or anything. But look, there's moments of personality that he did show, glimpses, small little glimpses. And I wish I would have seen more of that. But again, if you don't know what's next, if you're even a little bit insecure about your routine, you can't perform. Like you're just in your head, right? So it is what it is. He actually, I would say he's agile, like he's able to move fast. And he really has a lot of flexibility, especially on his upper half, I would say. Anyway, jive isn't easy, right? Especially for tall, lanky dudes like Jerry Rice. It really is not. And it's probably didn't feel good. The floor was probably slippery. And I think if they would have had just more cute interaction or more play between the two, meaning Anya and Jerry, it would have been more crowd pleasing than it was. But either way, obviously Jerry could just stand there and he would have still gotten a standing ovation, right? So I give Jerry and Anya a 7. Let's get to the judges' comments. Tom asks Len, what are you looking for in the jive? And he goes, well, the ballroom jive comes from rock and roll, Lindy Hop, the jitterbug. We want to see speed. We want to see fast kicks and flicks, fast underarm turns, speed. And then he asks if he saw that here. And he said, it was more like geriatric. Oh, poor Jerry. It was so slow. And the audience obviously booed. And he said, I don't know what happened. Okay, that is so mean. But it is what it is. Starting to understand now the flow of how the judges have to be a certain way, right? For entertainment. It is a TV show, right? At the end of the day. But at our, the performer's expense. Because, you know, it's one thing if we didn't have to rehearse as much as we did. I mean, we don't have to do any of it. But like, it is our reputation and our ass on the line. So you do have to do it if you want a job next season as a pro dancer. And if the celebrity also wants to get a job and not embarrass himself on live TV. But I think if it wasn't so serious as far as the time and the amount of hours spent 7 days a week, the judges could be as mean as they wanted to or want to be, because like, we wouldn't be so invested. But anywho, whoever thought of this formula as far as DWTS goes should win an award. Anyway, Carrie Ann said to Jerry and Anya, I don't know what he is saying, meaning to Len, but I disagree. I thought you had a fun time out there. Your musicality was a little off and I didn't see you work your feet. Isn't that the whole point of a jive altogether? I'd like to see you work your feet more. Bruno said, I was disappointed, Jerry. It was Jerry in the twilight zone tonight. Your footwork wasn't sharp enough. The kicks and flicks weren't right. You were off the beat. You were not good. There were some mistakes. And then Carrie Ann interjected and said, but I thought you had fun. And you see both of them just look super defeated. That's so sad. And Anya was like raising her eyebrows in confusion a few times. And that was a reaction, obviously, to the judge's comments, as you know, it's hard for her as it is for me to hide our feelings on our face. Just saying. She says it all in her face. Like, I get it. I love her for that. Anyway, they go to Samantha in the red room. And you know, I have to say, Samantha says the judges were very tough on you tonight. And she said geriatric. And Jerry said nothing new. He said, I'm just out there having fun. Samantha said, you're obviously used to winning championships. He said, you know, it's all about repetition. You go out there, you perform and try your best and sell it. And he said, I gave it my heart tonight and my all. So we'll see. Judges scores. The judges gave Jerry Rice and Anya 7-6-6. Jerry said, this is a whole new world for me. And he goes on to say, I gave it my all. We just have to keep working. But you can tell they're really upset, honestly. And it's so sad to see that. But I have to agree with the judges. It was definitely underwhelming in comparison to like his quick step, like I had mentioned earlier from last week.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity, And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Okay, couple number two, Giselle Fernandez and Jonathan Roberts dance a tango, ballroom tango, that is. It cuts to their package, Giselle and Jonathan, and it first starts, as always, with Tom's voiceover saying her inner Rosarita came out. And then it cuts to Carrie Ann saying, I think you're a contender. This is Carrie Ann saying this to Giselle Fernandez. And she says, I think you're a contender for the title. Then it cuts to Giselle saying Carrie Ann gave her that little spark just to say, you know, cool, I'm moving forward. And then it cuts to their rehearsal and Giselle stops Jonathan mid-routine and says, now that we're a contender, don't let it get to your head, Giselle. We really have to do well. So you could tell it's a little, is possibly, like I said, getting to her head jokingly, obviously. And Giselle admits that she could be the dark horse and she doesn't have the same fan base as everybody. Why does Jonathan always get celebrities with not huge fan bases? Okay. Anyways, meaning back then, past tense, obviously. She said that all I can do is offer hard work, Giselle said. I can offer a lot of heart. And then Jonathan said that we have to get that high score every single week and we have to impress the judges because there's six more weeks to go and we're the dark horse of the competition. So we have to be the one to beat. You could tell that this was like a line that was given to Jonathan by the producers as far as... what he said, because he's normally not that outspoken, I would say. But he basically, you know, blindfolds Giselle in their rehearsal to have her stop thinking. I don't think that is correlated. Just saying. She may not be seeing, but she still can think, even with a blindfold on. Odd. But I think he wanted her to just feel more. He wanted her to tap into her senses, I'm assuming. Even though it's not even that sense either. The feeling comes from, like, deep within, like when you hear a piece of emotional music like that's the feeling that you exude out, not from your mouth, from your body language. So Jonathan basically said, we need Giselle to start feeling more and not be so analytical, basically. We need to get those good scores from the judges. And remember, you guys, Jonathan Roberts is definitely more of an expert when it comes to these types of ballroom dances, right? Smooth, standard. So this is going to, I know, be a great dance for him, I believe. And I'm sure as well, you know, if it's a good dance for your coach, obviously, you know, it's going to be a good dance for your celebrity, huh? Right. Because most likely they're able to teach it in great detail. They're an expert in that style. After watching Giselle Fernandez and Jonathan Roberts tango, she's wearing, you know, first of all, just the aesthetic of them. She's wearing a beautiful peach colored gown with like a high slit, showcasing her amazing legs and shows off her right side. And the reason why, like, we always have a slit that goes up our right side of our leg is because whenever we do a tango link, which is like, you know, when we do those head whips really fast, it always shows off that side of us, right? Like our right side. Right. Okay. So just fun fact. They're dancing to a very authentic piece of music, which is always the best when it comes to like these types of passionate dances. Funny enough, what I see different from Jonathan, let's say this season, meaning season two versus season one, is a huge difference, but all in a great way. You can tell Jonathan is definitely, you know, he's improved when it comes to showcasing his celebrity, but also his dancing has gotten a lot stronger and better. It's very noticeable. Like, for example, I don't know if you guys remember when I was rewatching and recapping season one, I had asked or wanted Jonathan to show more passion and show more of a lead, you know, when he was dancing with Rachel Hunter, for example, especially in the tango. And right away with Giselle, you see Jonathan just be more aggressive and more masculine in a way You know, he like manhandles her, which is something that is definitely needed in the specific style of the tango, especially with the music that they're dancing to. And he shows just generally more of a dominant role and looks 100 times better. So good on you, Jonathan. Giselle looks amazing. But what I love about Jonathan that some of our male pros should take a note on, just saying, love you guys. Say this with love and lots of light and lots of lycra. Anyway, is Jonathan Roberts' frame. His frame is so wide, and that's a good thing, okay? And he has so much power from his feet. Like, and I understand he's an expert, and a lot of us, I mean, I would fake it. Like, I didn't really understand the mechanics of ballroom and standard, even though I took my medals tests and I knew the basics. But again, you can't really say you're an expert in any type of anything if you haven't really studied it and have participated in some sort of, in our case, a competition or at a professional level, right? So anyway, my point is that what I love about Jonathan's frame is that it's wide. It's not like narrow. His elbows are not down. It's like perfectly at a 90 degree angle. He has so much power from his legs, from his feet. You can see the way he moves from foot to foot and the way he uses his energy from his legs to using the hardwood floor to create this power. And it's beautiful to witness. And, you know, they're in perfect body contact, meaning Jonathan and Giselle, they haven't separated, meaning you don't see a space in between the center of the two of them. But I would have loved to see from Giselle a little bit more, I guess, precision when it comes to really hitting those dramatic lines, right? Or head whips or whatever it is. Her upper body looked a little too loose for my taste. And then she forgot a step, unfortunately. So, you know, she was supposed to, I think, extend a leg, but didn't have balance. And I don't believe she's using her core to her strength, because this woman has core. Like, she's got a six pack, seriously. And we know that Giselle's strong. And they did an amazing ending, which I loved so much. Basically, Giselle, they ended in the lift. And I think this was before Carrie Ann was a stickler for this, or this is when she became a stickler. She basically runs, like, I think they split off, they spin off opposite angles of the ballroom, right? So they're still facing each other, but they're apart. Giselle runs into Jonathan's arms, literally gets into like a lunge type thing where both feet are off the floor. She's around John's waist, and then he just drops her to the floor, meaning like bends her back. It's super powerful. Anyways, hopefully Carrie Ann won't mark them down a point for that. But I just felt like, you know, it really stood out for me. And what I loved was just to see Jonathan more dominant and very masculine. And Giselle was strong too, but I feel like she could have been, like I said, stronger. She could have been more grounded, stronger, meaning her upper body was a little too wobbly. She didn't really isolate. And again, would have loved to see more dynamic moments between the two. But overall, it was pretty amazing considering that she's not a ballroom dancer. I give Jonathan and Giselle an 8. Let's get to the judges' comments. So Tom asks Len, what do you look for in a tango? And Len said, you're looking for drama. You're looking for passion. You're looking for flair. You're looking for a sharp and staccato action. And that, my friend, was a proper ballroom tango. No airy, fairy, proper. This was perfect. Carrie Ann says, well, actually, in our competition, we're not supposed to be doing lifts. Dun, dun, dun. So that's something we just want to mention, okay? We're not going to penalize you yet, but I needed to say it out to everybody, but we wanted to remind you that, okay, so thanks to Jonathan and Giselle, basically, Carrie Ann became a lift master because of that one lift. But she didn't mark a point off, I guess. And this was like the first time that they announced it. Judges' scores, really low for this couple, shockingly. 6-7-7, say the hell. What? Is this not for another couple? I'm so confused. What? Samantha said, we heard you say that you had to score high enough with the judges because you felt like you didn't have enough fans. And Giselle said, well, we were hoping not to be RoboCop, that's for sure. And, you know, for the constructive criticism that she has received, other than from the two judges who basically, I would say only one really, which was Bruno, saying that she looked like RoboCop. And this is like the first of, as far as like the may not be so constructive criticism, right? It just doesn't help anybody. That's a perfect example. When you're being called something, like with Harry Jowsey, when one of the guest judges called him a tree trunk, like, or a tree stump, like, that does not help anyone, right? That's just rude and mean. So that's the difference between having, you know, constructive criticism be a part of the show versus just flat out mean. And I don't think you need to like flip flop between the two. I think it should only be constructive criticism or don't say it at all. Like, it's a family show, I thought. Just saying. Carrie Ann actually helped with her comment when she said to Giselle, you know, you were a little too soft or whatever. She said, because she's actually, you know, Jonathan can use that and now use it to hopefully move forward into week four.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Couple number three, yours truly and Drew Lachey. Drew Lachey. He would hate it whenever anyone called him Lachey. It's so funny. Jive is our dance that we did back in 1960. Bruno called our next couple the Supersonic Fighter Jet. Okay, then it cuts to the quick step from last week where Tom said, you know, the quick step from the judges wasn't enough not to hold on to first place. And Drew said basically when he saw Stacey and Tony's higher score, mind you, let me remind you, they got 2 10s and a 9. Week two, may I say. Week two, they'd be throwing out 10s. Huh? Like, you might as well just give them the mirror ball, just saying. You know, he basically said when he saw the score that Stacey and Tony got, 9, 10, 10, it felt like he was punched in the gut as he put so much pressure on himself. And then there is like some serious, obviously, undertone music playing in the background. As, you know, obviously, it just showed a little bit that our package may be heading towards nowhere land, which is stress and frustration, tension package. And I think, you know, the tension right away, you know, I'm making you see me during rehearsal with Drew work harder than normal. And you can tell that Drew is just super competitive within himself. This is actually when I saw Drew's competitive side for the first time. It was actually really, you know, for me, a different tone than what I've been witnessing in prior weeks, for example, of the competition and training. I have to say also, it was always like fun and games with each other, right? And let me just remind everybody that this part of the competition, week three, still to this day is when it gets tough, right? Because you only have a few days, like I said earlier, for the turnaround from rehearsing to the live show. So, you know, we didn't get week three's music until after the elimination night, meaning the results show. So there, not only did we only have less than a week to turn it around, but when you have two shows a week, the live show where we perform our dances, then we have result shows, meaning like back in the day, we did two live shows a week. That really gives us only 2 days to put a number together for the following week. I'm just saying. Anywho, basically for me, what this meant, right? So we didn't even get our music until after the elimination, as I said, after result show night. So that was already like almost, we're pushing, I would say we went live at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So by like 8:39, okay? And mind you, we went out every Monday night. It was like clockwork. Like you build it up, all the build. You go through ups and downs, an emotional roller coaster. Then it's the live show. Then you go out, let loose. You can't even have fun and celebrate because then you're nervous the next morning. Because like literally, you don't ever get to bask in the present moment on Dancing with the Stars. If you ain't on top of your game, if you don't know or haven't planned or rented a studio for you to choreograph to come in to prepped to teach your celebrity how to what dance they're doing and the choreography, you're screwed, my friend. You're screwed. Okay. That's all, folks. I should drop the mic. For me, what I would do, my routine would be I'd get the music Tuesday night. That means I had already booked a dance studio on my dime, because there was no Dancing with the Stars studios back then. But even if there were, up to my last day on the show, I would book my own time, because it's like those studios are left for people who are being filmed. Anyway, it's a long story. But the point is that if you care, you got to make the time and spend the money. Okay. Okay. So for me, I had to come in the next morning with everything as far as the choreography goes, either on camera or written out, because like I said, I was very insecure about the choreography, let alone having to teach the steps, especially of the male, right? Of my partner. Like I knew the girl steps. I never understood. It was really hard for me to like learn the guy steps for some reason, right? But first I had to learn my steps. There's no steps for the man if you don't know the steps of the woman first, just saying. Anyway. So the good thing, though, is that, you know, I was able to go in there prepped, even if I barely slept. Drew would know his steps because we started from the ground up as far as his foundation goes, right? This is what I mean by you got to build the foundation during those training periods before the premiere, right? You have to really understand what lead is. You have to put your knowledge and your years of ballroom into the body of your celebrity. Okay. So they need to already know what heel leads are. They need to already know what body contact is, what frame is, so that all you have to do is just remind them of what it is and not start. They have enough to worry about as far as choreography goes. They don't need to also learn what a heel lead is for the first time on top of it all. Right. Right. The turnaround, right, from rehearsing to the live show, we only would get a few days, if that, until basically after the results show, we would get our music. Back then, it was a CD. They would hand us our CD. And that meant, for me at least, my choreography had to happen that night. And then I had to come in the next morning knowing the choreography enough to be able to teach Drew his steps, because we started like from the ground up. You know, we built the foundation first, which was a great thing, that we already built the cha-cha foundation of like no heel leads, for example. Drew already had that in his body, hence why I say anyone who does the show, make sure you instill that foundation and basics into your celebrity as soon as you can. You know, Drew says like, I'm putting enough pressure on myself being in the number two position, and now I feel at least there's room for improvement. This is cutting back to our package. Drew said there was someone that was better than us this week. And then it cuts to us rehearsing. And then he groaned out of frustration. And all I can see is his sweaty armpits. And P.S. Drew sweat a lot under his armpits. They were always on fire, but they never smelled. So that's a good thing. Or else I would have made him turn around or gone to the nearest Old Spice store. Drew says in the package, Cheryl knows when to push me and she knows when to back off. And for Drew, he said that I don't know when to back off. And that's a fact. Drew will just honestly continue to harp on something within himself. Like, he was a very harsh critic of himself, as we all are. And then cuts to Drew not getting his steps again. You don't really get to assess how he's going to do, because every 2 seconds he keeps stopping. I remember being so frustrated and annoyed at him for that. Then it cuts to Drew again with his sweaty back, as obviously he was working his arse off. And just also note, don't wear gray shirts when rehearsing. If you're a sweater, black is the way to go. Then it cuts to me saying, you know, you could do it slowly. And then it cuts to Drew to camera saying, I get a 24 and a 27. All of a sudden, people expect you to be a professional. And actually, Drew, my friend, that's only in your head. You know that. No one expects shite from you, okay? Only you are putting that pressure on you. Holler. Holler if you hear me. I will never forget it. He did put a lot of pressure on himself. And I, you know, I would have to like say to him, like, I never saw this side, I guess, because he was a very, he wasn't outspoken in a way to where like he would just tell me about his problems and be vulnerable, obviously. Like, it was, but you could tell that his mind was going a million miles per hour. And I think he was aiming for perfection, or he just really wanted to do well. He is very competitive. I have to say that, you know, there is so much pressure. When you guys hear me say this with the celebrities that I interview on this podcast, but there's a lot of pressure that, you know, it's only coming from ourselves, really. I think that that is the biggest hurdle to really try and be able to overcome here, because you could definitely, your mind can take you on so many different ways and paths. And at the end of the day, nothing is really facts, right? Like, sometimes our feelings or the reality we make up in our head isn't necessarily true, but it's really hard when you're in it, even if you know it intellectually, right? Like, even though when I was on the show, my thoughts would get the best of me all the time. Like, I had to actually listen to binaural beats because of it. And it helped, I must say. Anyway, Drew says, this is so much pressure. And I say to him, shut up, good on me, I have to say. But then it cuts to Drew saying, you know, me and Cheryl have a very unique dynamic. It's kind of like we're brother, sister, and sister. And then we're taking a break, basically on this carpeted stage where... I'll never forget that dirty carpeted stage. This was like the famous dance studio in Sherman Oaks where I blanked out, literally. I think it's next week's dance or the week after, during that Paso Doble Michael Jackson Thriller number. Remember that one? Because guess what? Yours truly never came prepared for that week. We chose partying over preparation. I was laid down on that carpeted stage for hours. Anyways, we'll talk about that when we get to that week. I had nothing to give other than the sweat coming out of my pores from the vodka I drank the night before. Anyway, as we continue bickering, Drew and I back to our package, we were taking a break, and he said something, or I said to him, get your finger out of my face. And then, because Drew put his sweaty finger in my face, I think he was trying to like mess around. And I think we got like just very comfortable enough with each other when we knew it was time just to take a break. And then I said to Drew, I think you need a timeout. And then it cuts to my interview. My goodness, this is why I say my hair looked way better in movement, you guys, than stillness. Whoa. But basically I say, dancing is really hard. Thanks. It's important to keep that sense of fun in our package. Wow, our package was so long. I'm still talking about it. Okay, then we go to the park. we're throwing back and forth this little like Nerf ball football thing. And I say that it's important in my package during my interview. I say it's important to have breaks and to have fun, especially if we want to have that on the dance floor. Then it cuts to Drew saying it's his last time that we've got to secure that position at the top. Fingers crossed. Okay, so before we get onto the dance, I have to say this was one of my favorite dances, okay? The jive was great. And let me tell you why. The jive, I thought, you know, was actually one of Drew's stronger dances, shockingly. But the way that we choreographed this, it was more of like a jazzy, I would say, West Coast swing type jive than like a cheerleader jump up and down jive. When you get music, like the music we got, the piece of music we got, we're dancing to like the song called Crazy Little Thing Called Love. It all depends on just the music, right? The music, most of the time when it comes to jives, it's like, it's not something I love. Like I'm not into high energy jive, like cheerleading jive, like to pop music, but I love swing music. So two different things. Just thought I'd share that with you. It just depends because you can still like, you can definitely add more sass when it's more bluesy and swingy than like high school, you know, cheerleading, which, you know, again, it's just a preference, no judgment. So the style of the song and the choreography, honestly, it just was beautiful. Like it worked. And not just, and I don't, you guys know me, I don't literally pat myself on the back for anything, but it was something that was easy to choreograph too because of the different hits and the dynamics in the music. And I wouldn't think that Drew's jive would be one of his strongest dances, as he didn't really have, like back then, that jive tick, meaning the bounce, right? That bounce that you need on your standing leg when you do the side-by-side kicks and flicks, or in general, you know, his knees could have been higher up. Obviously, he could have danced more on the balls of his feet. He was a little bit flat-footed, that is, and he didn't really kick precisely. Like, he didn't have fast, precise kicks and flicks, or point his feet, for that matter, when doing so. It was definitely more of like an East Coast swing type vibe style, but what was so brilliant about the performance, I think, was because of the different, like I said, musical hits and highlights. You know, you heard it in the music, and we just, like, I choreographed to what I was hearing. And it didn't just keep going like our quick step did, right? So, for example, that song we danced to for a quick step, so different. There was zero highlights. So what was the music telling me to do? To just continue to quick step until I die, or we die. If you hear last week's episode, I talk about how our quick step was just so monotone, and how it would have been nice to have some moments and highlights in the music, meaning like some accents. That always helps when you have, you know, music with accents. It's always so much easier to choreograph, and you have so much more fun, and it's fun to actually choreograph to and to dance when you make a routine to a song with dynamic hits, as opposed to music that just keeps going and going and going, like the Energizer Bunny, just like me talking at the moment. Anyway, what is so funny, BTS action right now, hashtag BTS actually, is that at the very end, we do a lift. Okay, so again, the lift master is going to come at us, that is. So we do a lift and then we get called out for it. But hopefully, you know, I'm not sure. Did we get penalized? I'm not sure. Anyways, but what is so funny is the fact that I forgot to actually, if you look at this and you rewatch this episode and this dance in particular, I forgot to sit up. Like, so we do this like lift where he basically, you know, my legs go around his waist, he lifts me up, and then he brings me back down to like a forward somersault. And as he lays flat, like meaning his front of his body, his chest lays flat to the floor, I'm supposed to pop up. So at one point we're both laying flat, right? Like he's laying on his stomach, I'm laying on my back. I forgot to pop up. Holy crap. I just saw that now. Anyway, I also have to say that our wardrobe was on point. I just wore like a simple fringe black dress bodysuit type thing. And Drew wore like a little hat with like two-tone shoes. Just like we looked like really cute and fun and young and vibrant. Overall, I thought the performance was great. This was obviously before all of like the special effects that the show now has, obviously, but it was just a great basic jive that was stylized It could have still been a lot better. I'm not going to say that it was perfect. I'm not going to score myself like I've shared with you guys in prior weeks, because that's just weird. But let's hear what the judges have to say. The Rocket Man, Bruno says, keeps flying high. You were precise. The musicality was excellent. He didn't miss a beat, right on the tempo, and it was a very great or good routine. Len said, you have set the standard for all of the male celebrities. I thought you were going to be a one-week wonder. The first dance was amazing. Second dance was great. And this dance, you captured it all. Fan-freaking-tastic. He didn't say freaking. Then Carrie Ann said, what can I say? I agree with him completely. I thought it was great. You guys blended technique and performance to a point that is so wonderful to see. And you two have such a wonderful chemistry. And we got scolded by all three judges, especially Len, who said no lifts. And a reminder, no more lifts moving forward to all of the couples. Eek. Anyway, judges scores gave us 3 9s with a 27 out of 30. Samantha said, you're really tough on yourself, Drew, when you came in second last week. How happy does this make you with the judges' remarks? He said, regardless what happens, I'm glad the scores came out the way that they did. Either way, I just had a great time doing what we did. And he said, I'm learning how to lighten up a little bit. Then Samantha is asking me if that is true. And I said, yeah, at the end of the day, he's enjoying it now. And that's what counts. But I used to hate it. I'll tell you this much. Hashtag BTS. I was so nervous, like always so nervous to be asked a question by Samantha, especially because I wasn't prepped for it, you guys. And remember, I was shy. I hated interviews and I would always never make like eye contact with Samantha during these Red Room chats so that she wouldn't ask me a question. So I have my heart would actually always drop to my stomach every time I was asked a question because I was definitely not good at the interview portion part of the whole show yet back then, but I hated being put on the spot. However, my adrenaline helped me get through it all, and I always would want to throw up though afterwards. So I'm pretty sure after this specific time, I would, from what I can recall in the Red Room with Samantha, I was thinking to myself, oh my God, I felt so nauseous because I was always so nervous. You can tell that the dancers knew that too, like the other pros behind us in the Red Room, because they were smiling and they had a little smirk on their face because I think, you know, I wasn't like Ashley. I wasn't outspoken. I wasn't, I didn't really pronounce the, you know, or have any type of like dynamic in my voice. Like I didn't talk from my diaphragm. I had this like interesting high-pitched voice. It didn't know who I was. There was a big difference between like Ashley and me, right? Back in the day, as far as like just the talking portion of the show goes. I think I like would express to my fellow co-stars and pro dancers how much I hated talking in general. And they already knew that because they've known me since I was a little girl. They've never heard me talk, period. So there you go. Now I can't shut the F up, if you know what I mean. I also hated to hear my voice on a mic, by the way. My, how things have changed. Now I sleep to my voice. Just kidding.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again, a paycheck
for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity, and it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
We're going to end this part one of season two, week three, with George Hamilton and Edita Slavinska, couple number four. So I don't know. I don't think this is the dance. No, it's not. When Edita wears the real diamonds, and maybe that it already happened. Who knows? Like in her quick step that she did. I'm pretty sure it did. Anyway, listen to my interview with Edita. You can basically get the lowdown there. Tom starts off by recapping their dance from last week and says, this next star is entertaining. An elegant quick step earned him the nickname, the Master Evolution. Can he Copperfield himself a tango? It shows a clip of their quick step. And Tom says, George edited triumph over his shattered knee with a show stopping quick step Hollywood hometown hero. Can he keep it up? Then it cuts to his funny bit in the red room saying that what George basically said just to mimic Master P a little bit, that was that when Samantha asked him a question, like, why are you doing this? And he goes, I'm doing it for the people in the hood, for my Beverly Hills people in the hood, mimicking Master P. And then it cuts to, you know, George's sit down interview. And then he says, it's critical for me to get my people mobilized, as he is driving in his convertible with his top down car, petitioning for votes and waving to his fans, who are part of the older demographic, I'd say for sure. But he's super endearing, and you can tell that his fans love him, and they're all saying to vote for George, which I love. I love these types of out of feel good studio packages once in a while, you know, and it's really entertaining to watch, especially with a big personality like George Hamilton. You know, it's like, it, you know, it's produced, obviously. You know, you can tell that when you interact with the actual people in advance of the show, you know, they all have to sign releases to allow, you know, their likeness to be able to air on TV. But it's still super cute and endearing. And it's also good for the psyche to get out of the studio once in a while, I think. It cuts to Edita with her hair so black, like competitive when we used to compete black. And she looks exactly who I knew when we used to compete against each other. Gotta love her. It's so cute because, like, George is basically twirling one of his fans, you know, in the Sunrise assisted living home, to be exact, and everyone loved him there. And then one of the guys said, George, you have my vote. And then one of the chefs tangoed with him, and he said that I'm calling for everyone to vote for me, not just the senior citizens, but all the other people I can think of. You know, this is the cutest thing. It really is. Edita says the most important thing for George is to bring the tango, is to bring himself into the tango, in Edita's sexy, exotic, and animalistic voice. Then cuts to their rehearsal, and then George says, as Edita is tying her hair back, that I feel it in my blood. He said, I was born for this. And then he throws his hat up a little bit and it lands on his head. And he says, I was born to tango. It then cuts to George saying that his father was from Madrid and he can dance like an Argentina. Too bad it's not Argentine tango. But then he speaks Spanish with subtitles that read, I have the moves like butter, like flour, you know, question mark. See, this is what I mean. He's so charming. George is so charming. He's entertaining, innocent, fun, you know, when it comes to the packages. Obviously, there's no tension in their rehearsals. You see, and know Edita and George, they really respect one another or respected one another and took care of each other, which you could tell with their chemistry. And I'm sure, you know, George was still in physical pain and it was starting to get exhausting for him. Because remember, this is now that week three of the competition. The turnaround is a lot shorter, which means you put in a lot more hours and you're a lot more stressed, right? And on top of these shorter turnarounds, we all had out of studio packages. So you can basically say that you only had a couple of hours, 2 days, let's say, rather than three, which is a big difference, to be honest. And, you know, they had to shoot these packages and you can just understand, like, George is already tired, right? So he's now putting the hours to shoot these out of studio packages, and he was probably just so exhausted he couldn't give too much when it comes to Edita as far as rehearsal in the actual dance studio goes, right? So anyway, let's check out their tango. During the VO, they announced the name Dancing the Tango, the British guy, George Hamilton, and his partner Edita. George has a fake mustache on with a fedora hat. He looks amazing. He's wearing an amazing two-piece suit with a red flower on the pocket area. And you can tell that he is just loving this character that he's playing and loving this performance and the music and the whole thing. He looked so confident. He looked so charismatic. And that's really what it is, right? Like, if you could just, like, maintain that type of confidence from within, because it is from within, you're flying high, my friend. None of this will faze you. Okay, I'm looking honestly for the diamonds. I don't think this is the dance that she wore them. Anyway, this style that they actually executed for their tango, their standard international tango, was more definitely towards, it was leaning more towards the Argentine tango style, meaning like he's more in an intimate Argentine tango type frame than a ballroom international standard tango frame, which is a huge difference. So for example, with Argentine tango, you don't, first of all, you don't have to stay in hold, but when you are in hold, it's more of an embrace between two people. So not so technical and not as presentable, because when you do Argentine tango, from what I learned from the Argentinians themselves who do this for a living, it's not about anybody else other than the two people dancing with one another. So that is the difference, right? They really can care less about what other people are seeing as far as like the audience goes, or trying to look out for reassurance to see if they like it or not. What they're doing is they're telling a story through movement. And this is why I love it so much, because of the authenticity behind every Argentine tango dance that I've ever seen done in an authentic and organic way. Nothing is showy, nothing is flashy, nothing is put on or materialized or manufactured. When the man leads you, he's changing your direction as the woman. And even with that, I had to retrain my brain, you guys, when I learned Argentine tango from, like, you know, in ballroom, we break our wrists when we put an arm out, right? There's none of that. Whenever we put an arm out, you know, you don't do that with your wrists. You don't fake it. Nothing's manufactured. It's very pedestrian. Argentine tango is very pedestrian as opposed to international standard tango. Anyway, though their tango, meaning George Hamilton and Edita, gave off major Argentine tango vibes, I thought that the performance side of things was definitely a 10. For sure. Like, they were definitely in character, the both of them, obviously. Edita was actually, you know, like, what I appreciated from her the most was the fact that she didn't dance full out. Like, sometimes with us pros, we get so excited or we don't feel like maybe we're doing enough, so we overcompensate for our celebrities, and then we tend to take them off their feet. You can hear my interview with Denise Richards, and this is what she says, actually, when she danced with Max, that she just felt like the live show was so different than rehearsal. And look, it happens to the best of us, right? It happens. It's so hard to control your adrenaline sometimes, and it takes over your body. We're all human. It happens. It takes over my body all the time, like, especially when I performed. There was nothing I could do about it in that moment. Even if you've done this for so many decades, it doesn't mean that, you know, we're perfect. But she definitely, you know, kept it undertoned, put it that way, as far as etiquette goes. And it was their, I think she was starting to figure out their niche in a way and what made them as a couple look strong, which was to make sure their routines were more character driven, which I appreciate. And she did the best that she could with George Hamilton's ability, you know, that was given to her. So I don't think that George would have been able to entertain like he did, let's say, if she were to just to stick to the rules as far as stay in tango hold goes and not breaking hold or putting in the right syllabus or the right steps or having to do this and that. And yes, did they break hold in the middle of the routine? Yes. But was it worth it? Abso-freaking-lutely. Like, there's a difference, right? I believe that, you know, you can't actually do a proper tango unless you're two professionals, honestly, and you can get away with this type of song. Like, it's just really hard to, you have to find a balance between entertaining the audience versus not, right? So I thought George absolutely nailed this dance. I mean, he basically dropped Edita, not in a bad way, but he dropped Edita to the floor into a death drop and then into a very wide stance, like a split weight between the two legs. And he did not lose balance whatsoever. So his base was actually a lot wider, which made George look stronger and more of a leader. And this is something that I was always harping on George about, that he needed just to open his legs, chest up, nipples to the sky, I say, and just stay more grounded. And he definitely was grounded that night. So I also saw him lead her, but there were obviously the challenges to have like a wide frame, especially in comparison to Argentine tango, because the challenge was to do an international tango. So with all of that, he also didn't have any heel leads. But when I say his tricks, he nailed them. You guys have to watch this. He actually nailed them. It's because, look, he threw like his fedora hat. He threw it right at the middle of the lens. You know how hard it is to do this live? I'm sure it went great during rehearsal, but like very rarely do you nail it during live shows. I don't know. I think it's just the power of the mind and psyche. Anyway, he even, after his dance was finished, like they hit their last pose, he picked up the hat and caught it with his hands from the floor, from his foot to his like hand. I don't know. It was something that you have to watch. He was basically doing this as him and Edita were walking over to Tom. The audience got a kick out of it. They were on their feet from the moment they started. And basically with all of his tricks up his sleeves, it just became, he became, I think, the people's choice, you know, like people loved him. He just, I thought, again, the audience was amazing. You can just tell like by the response from the audience, if the celebrity is popular or not, you can just hear it. And look, I have to judge based on the challenge. So with that, I give George and Edita a 6. And P.S., I don't think she, definitely, I can confirm this, that she never wore the diamonds that were worth hundreds and thousands of dollars, not for this dance, at least. Let's get to the judges' comments before we wrap up part one of season 2, week 3 of the Rewatch series. Carrie Ann said, "You are so charming, George, and so entertaining to watch, and it's really a joy, but the charm can only take you so far in this competition. I think I'd like to see you do a little bit more hold, and I'd also love to see when you're in hold to keep it a little firmer." Bruno said, "I have to agree with her, but you are the master trickster. You can sell ice to Eskimos because you did a turn tonight. You started with Al Capone. Then we had Antonio Banderas, totally convincing performance all the way through. And he pointed out that you did do a little bit Argentine tango, by the way, but entertainment was superb." Len said, "You know, George, the thing is that you are the only male celebrity attempting ballroom dancing in the tango. All the other men are the professionals." And he said, "You were up against it tonight. So I thought that was the most entertaining. It was a great show. You've got to just maintain the hold. Don't keep breaking the hold, but great job." Samantha said, "It's no secret, George, that you've been on an election campaign to gain votes. Is this your new strategy?" And he said, "You know, Master P worked the hood, so I decided to work my hood, which is Beverly Hills." And then she said, "Since you've already been talking to the citizens of Beverly Hills, who's next?" And then he's basically speaking Spanish. And then Giselle, who obviously understands, translated. And Giselle said, "Vote for Giselle." That was really funny, actually. And then Samantha took the mic away from Giselle, that is. This camaraderie between the cast of season 2 was just memorable. And it wasn't it wasn't quite the same after this season, even though the camaraderie is great. Like from when I was on, at least, I think this is one of my favorites as far as chemistry between the cast members go. Anyway, George Hamilton and Edita got 7.78, which gave them a total of 22 out of 30. Thank you guys so much for listening to Sex, Lies, and Spray Tans, the rewatch series. Thank you guys so much for all of your love and support. Until next time.
Make sure you guys follow us at Sex, Lies, and Spray Tans on our Instagram handle. And make sure you comment. Let me know who you want me to interview. What do y'all think? Let me know.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.